You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to The Punt Podcast from William Hill. Another big week of football action in the Premier League, the Football League and across Europe. We're going to get the best bets along the way. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me on this edition, a stalwart of The Punt Podcast. First of all, a very warm welcome, Derek McGovern. How are you, sir?
Very well, very well. Looking forward to another Premier League weekend. Some good games on the cards this weekend.
Yes, yeah, the televised games look pretty good this week. We're also joined by the Daily Mail's Sammy Mock-Bell. How are you, Sammy?
How are you doing, guys?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Before we get stuck into the matches, fellas, obviously a big result in the Premier League last weekend with Manchester City getting the better of Liverpool to close the gap at the top end of the table. The journalists and the headlines will say the title race is back on. I suppose the first question, was it ever off? And does the ball firmly lie in Man City's court now? They are 4 points behind Liverpool, but everyone's suggesting that it's now City's title to lose, Sammy. What do you make of it? Because Liverpool, with the advantage, if it were the other way around, if it was City with the advantage, they'd be heavily odds on, but that's not the case with Liverpool.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think if it was City who had the 4 point gap, we'd all be sort of ending the title race now, wouldn't we? But because of the quality City have, and we know that they could claw back that 4 point gap in a couple of weeks. So the title race is going to go down to the wire. But I would still rather much be in Liverpool's position at the moment. A 4 point gap is still pretty good at this point of the season. If they, if you gave that to Jurgen Klopp at the start of the season, he would have obviously bitten your proverbial hand off. So I still think it's Liverpool to lose. Much will depend on obviously how they bounce back from two successive defeats this weekend.
I suppose the thing that sticks in people's minds, Derek, with that is that Liverpool have been in a good position to win the Premier League recently and threw it away. So isn't people worrying about that more than they should
definitely,
do?
Definitely. Yeah, that's being factored into the odds as well. There's little to choose between them at the head of the market. What amazed me is that one of the papers the day after that Thursday night clash, at the Etihad, saying, I think it was Andy Robertson, the Liverpool FA, he's saying Liverpool's title dream is not over despite that defeat. Not over, this is a team 4 points clear at the end of January. It would be in the January, ridiculous. So, they are still 4 points clear. And yet, Sammy's right. If someone had said to Liverpool fans, i.e. me, that, they'd be 4 points clear midway after, when the FA Cup comes around, we'd be absolutely chuffed. What pleased me and what worried me, firstly, is that City, not just that night, but the last couple of games as well, they look as though they're coming back to the best, and Kevin De Bruyne's back as well. That's a big worry. But what pleased me was that in the three games Liverpool beat Man City last season, I actually come away from those games thinking, they're miles better than us. I know we've won, but they're miles better than us. I didn't get that impression on Thursday night. I thought there was nothing to choose between the two sides. So if anything's going to fill me with comfort, it's that. But I still think City will win the league.
Liverpool are 4-5 to win the league, by the way. They are now a little bit of odds on and favourites to win it. Man City 6-5, those two obviously well clear of Spurs at 16-1 in that particular market, as they are in the league table. Let's move on to the live games this week then. As you mentioned at the start of this, Derek, a good week of live football. We'll start with West Ham Arsenal at 12:30 on Saturday lunchtime. It's at the London Stadium. West Ham are 10th, patchy form recently, 2 wins, 2 defeats and a draw in their last 5 outings. Arsenal are 5th of the Premier League, of course. Recent defeats against Liverpool and Southampton kind of tarnished that long unbeaten run when it looked like they may have turned the corner. West Ham 5-2, the draw 11-4, and Arsenal are even money here. West Ham have a terrible record against Arsenal at home in the Premier League as well, Derek. Is it one for the Gunners here at even money?
Well, the even money puts me off completely. I mean, that could be a worse bet only if I backed it, which I might yet do. I couldn't have them. They're not good enough to be back to win at West Ham at those kind of odds. You know, Arsenal have won as many away games this season as they did in the whole of last season. Now, that might sound impressive. In fact, they've only won 4 away this season. Crystal Palace have won that many. It just shows you how bad they were last time. You know, in this game, you'd be wondering if we'll see Mesut Ozil. He's the great myth of football, I've said many, many times before, and this is the kind of game that he probably will be left out of, i.e. a Premier League game. 0-0 last season, this. But the games before, 5-1 Arsenal won the season before, 3-3 the season before that, 2-1 for Arsenal before that. It's the kind of stadium that Arsenal will enjoy playing at. I mean, City always go there and have a cakewalk. And Arsenal are that kind of team that, you know, might, you know, will probably enjoy the wide open spaces there. But I just keep coming back to those odds and evens. I can't touch Arsenal like that. I'm going to play safe here and go for the draw. It's not often I go for the draw, but there's been 2 draws in the last 4 fixes. This could be another one.
11-4, the price of the draw. West Ham only 1 win in their last 21 Premier League meetings with the Gunners, and it's 11 unbeaten away at West Ham for Arsenal. I suppose Derek said there, basically he's talked about draw or Arsenal, not mentioning West Ham having a chance of winning this. Sammy, what do you make of it?
I think West Ham's best chance is obviously to try and keep it compact and keep it as tight as they can going into the latter part of the game. But might be a bit of a shock here, but I fancy West Ham in this because I've seen a lot of Arsenal recently this season, and they, despite that long, I think it was 22 games unbeaten, they were often forced to come from behind, and they haven't hit the heights that a 22-game run would suggest. And obviously recently as well, Emery's come in from a little bit of criticism for his decisions from a section of fans. So despite them sort of pushing for top four and being there or thereabouts, I don't necessarily think everyone is totally convinced by Emery just yet. And, you know, going to the London Stadium, it's a London derby. West Ham will be bang up for it. I can see West Ham nicking a result there.
Okay, 5-2 for West Ham. If you think they can nick a result along with Sammy, match result on both teams to score might be an interesting way. And West Ham 9-2 there. The draw 16-5. Arsenal are 21-10. Plenty of goals. Hammers leaking goals at London Stadium, conceding in each of their last 8 home Premier League games. Arsenal, meanwhile, have scored in 20 straight Premier League games. Also, want to mention the interesting record that Unai Emery has away at Manuel Pellegrini's side. He's never beaten him away from home in any of his managerial career. That's in 6 previous meetings. And also Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang deserves mention here as well. He loves a London derby at the moment. He's scored in each of his last 4 London derby matches, and there are enhanced odds on the website for Aubameyang to score and Arsenal to win. That was 15-8. It is now 5-2. But interestingly, Sammy going for West Ham and Derek going for the draw then in the first of the televised games. Let's move on to the second of them. It's Chelsea against Newcastle at 5:30. Chelsea are 2-9. The draw is 5-1, and Newcastle a huge price, 14-1 in the 90 minutes betting. Chelsea are fourth, trying to keep pace with Liverpool, City and Spurs at the top end of the Premier League. They were disappointing of late, I suppose. They lost to Leicester, they drew with Southampton, and they scraped past Brighton, Watford and Palace. They're not results that you'd expect from Chelsea, I suppose. Beaten 1-0 by Spurs in the League Cup in midweek as well. I suppose the positive, if you are siding with Chelsea here, is that Newcastle are absolutely... Well, they have a terrible record, let's be frank, against Chelsea. We'll start with you, Sammy, this time. What do you make of this game at Stamford Bridge?
I think we know how Rafa's going to set the game up, don't we? You know, just keep it tight. Don't give anything away. If they if they can nick something towards the end, then happy days. If not, you know, they'll leave with a point. And it'll, the onus will be on Chelsea to break Newcastle down. And I saw Chelsea at Wembley on Tuesday night. And in the second half, they were irresistible at times. The attacking play was excellent. They were creating chances, but they just don't have someone to put the ball in the back of the net. Eden Hazard played through the middle. I'm still not quite convinced that he's comfortable there, or he's not. He's certainly not at his best there. I think he's at his best on the wing, creating chances, cutting inside, getting shots off. And if, you know, in terms of the other striking options there, Morata is obviously low on confidence. For some reason, Giroud isn't really getting a look in. So I think the onus will be on Chelsea to break Newcastle down. But I can't look. I think eventually Chelsea's quality will come through, and I think they will they will continue to knock the door down on against Newcastle, mate. Now they will get there and they will get the win.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about Chelsea in the second half against Spurs the other night. They looked very good, and it just highlighted, like you said, that the lack of a killer striker for Chelsea. They play good football. They have a lot of possession and a lot of territorial advantage, but they just can't seem to put the ball in the back of the net. Is that their Achilles heel, Derek?
Yeah, if they had Harry Kane, they'd probably win the league. Because they do look a fantastic side. I thought they'd absolutely murdered Tottenham second half, and this is a very good Tottenham team. Yeah, I mean, you've got Morata and Giroud. Well, you know, I'm surprised that either of them start, and I'm even more surprised when either of them finish. Looking at their goals record, they don't do that very often.
Yeah.
And Hazard, you've got one of the probably. If he's behind Ronaldo, it wouldn't be by much. And he's being wasted in that position, really. That's not his position. He's still a tremendous player, still do a great job, but you're not getting the best out of him. They're a great team, Chelsea. And they frustrate me because I look at them and thinking, why are they not challenging for the title? Mainly because they haven't got that striker we've just spoken about. This fixture troubles me because Newcastle early in the season, when they had these big games against the big clubs, they were doing okay. Remember, they lost only 2-1 at Man City. They lost only 3-2 at Man United. And, you know, they give them a good scare, United. But then they went to Liverpool around about Christmas, Boxing Day, I think it was. And they just didn't try a leg. You know, they had a big game against Watford coming up, and it was almost like they'd thrown away the points before they started. You know, we knew we were going to lose. We'll keep our powder dry for the next game. If they do that here, you'd understand it because they've got Cardiff next week. They've also got an FA Cup replay in midweek as well. So you'd understand if they did so. But it's Chelsea. And Rafa Benitez does not have a great rapport with Chelsea fans. I'm not sure that he'd want to go down there and just give up the points so easily. I think he's probably itching to give Chelsea what for, or two banks of what for. I think what's probably going to happen here is Chelsea going to win. But it's going to be tight. So Chelsea wants it. What are they, 2-9 to win in 90 minutes? You're not going to touch that unless you've got zillions in the bank. But Chelsea to win without conceding is 3-4, not far off even money, and that's a hell of a lot more palatable.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see Chelsea winning to nil there. One player that I want to mention here in more detail as well is Eden Hazard. Him to score Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 4-1. It's now 5-1. He is going to be their main threat, as we've seen for much of the season. And he's scored six in five Premier League appearances at Stamford Bridge against Newcastle. I think he got a hat-trick in that time as well. We see these players that seem to have good records against certain teams. It seems to keep coming up. If you want to get a price about Chelsea, is Hazard the obvious way in?
Yeah, well, he looks by far the likeliest scorer for Chelsea at the moment, even though he's not at his best right now because of the position he's being asked to play. I mean, years ago you'd get these super strikers like Alan Shearer and Ian Wright when he was scoring goals all the time. And, you know, even then, even though they were prolific scorers, you'd still be getting like even money to score in any game. You know, there'd be even money. The likes of the big strikers are Kane and that now. They're always odds on to score. But yeah, every time I look at Chelsea, every time he gets the ball, he looks like doing something. So yeah, how could anybody rule out that bet?
He's 4-5 to score any time, by the way, Eden Hazard, which might be a better way in than just siding with Chelsea at 2-9. Just go with Hazard to score any time, and if they do win, he's going to have a big chance of getting on the score sheet. You said you were leaning towards Chelsea there, Sammy. They are 2-9. Is there any way in that you like? Do you like any scores or any particular methods of a Chelsea win, perhaps?
I think it'll be tight. I think Rafa will do a job on Chelsea there, and I think he'll keep it tight. I think I can only see it being 1-0. Eden Hazard inevitably on the score sheet, but I don't see it being a cakewalk for Chelsea by any means. Newcastle will have the whole week to have worked on how to stifle Chelsea, and as we know, Rafa is quite good in these scenarios, isn't he? He sets up his team not to get beaten, and I think it'll be a struggle for Chelsea, but I think it'll be a tight 1-0, maybe 2-1.
9-4 for Chelsea to win, and under 2.5 goals if you think it will be tight. And the 1-0 scoreline there is 6-1, so if you think Chelsea can do it. But perhaps not be all that convincing, that could be a way into the match. Let's move on to Sunday's matches next then. We start with Everton against Bournemouth, 2:15 kick-off at Goodison Park, 11th versus 12th in the Premier League. Two teams that at times look pretty good and at times look pretty limited. You're not always sure which version of Everton and Bournemouth you're going to get. The Toffees are 3-4, the draw is 14-5, and it's 18-5 for Bournemouth. Only one win in the last seven in the Premier League for Everton, Sammy. They've kind of had a bit of a wobble at the moment.
Yeah, after that sort of terrific start that Silva had, they've gone off the boil a little bit, and I was interested to read some comments this week from Mashiri saying, essentially saying their league position isn't good enough. And when that's coming from up above, from the hierarchy, you've got to, you know, you've got to wonder and you've got to worry. I don't think we're at a stage yet where Michael Silver has to worry for his job. I think they worked long and hard to get him through the door. So just to throw it away now, after a sort of bad sequence of results, would be foolhardy in my opinion. But they certainly need to pick up. But listen, so do Bournemouth. You know, I think they've won, is it twice in 13 games in all competitions? That isn't a great. It isn't a great record this season, and despite their, you know, they had a good start under Eddie Howe this season, but they've fallen away a little bit, and I think that maybe some of the guys at Bournemouth might be looking just below them, just thinking, oh, we need to pick up a few points here. So I think again, this will be another tight one. I can see this being a draw, and I can see both clubs being happy with a draw.
Yeah, I think you're right. 14-5 for the draw there. For those that study the history books and the stats, Everton have won all three of their home Premier League meetings with Bournemouth, scoring 10 goals in that time as well. And in fact, Bournemouth have lost all five away games at Goodison Park in all competitions. They haven't had much success against Everton, Derek.
Not anywhere recently. Yeah. I mean, it shows you how bad the Premier League is. These two never seem to win a game, but 11th and 12th, you know, which is ridiculous. I mean, you've got to go overs on the goals, yeah. And as it's the Toffees versus the Cherries, overs on the calories too. there's going to be... Bournemouth have conceded 15 in their last four games. You know, but both managers set up to attack. You know, this defence is a nasty word to them, it seems. But I wouldn't get too worked up about Everton here because they failed to beat Newcastle at home recently. They failed to beat Watford. They failed to beat Leicester. And this is in their last four home Premier League games. In the other one, they were spanked 6-2 by Spurs. So there's absolutely nothing to get worked up with on Everton's price there. In fact, the more I look at it, the more I'm thinking, you know, Bournemouth, they're not the greatest team in the world, but they're a team I'd always want to be on the side of when they're the big price. And this looks like a big price to beat Everton here. But instead of going for them at, what, just around about the 3-1, just over the 3-1 mark, did you say they were, Mark? It's both teams to score and Bournemouth to win. Both teams are going to score in this fixture. And the 6-1 to win, both teams to score and Bournemouth to win. I'd rather have that than the 90-minute price.
Yeah, 18-5 in 90 minutes. 6-1 for Bournemouth to win and both teams to score. It is something that you tend to see in this game in terms of goals. We had that rather crazy game last season when it finished. Back in August when it finished 2-2. 2-1 at Bournemouth last season. 2-1 at Goodison before that. 6-3 if you cast your mind back to 2017. This game, Sammy, in recent years has been chock full of goals.
Yes, absolutely. Let's hope it's another affair, entertaining affair where there's a lot of goals. But given the run that both sides are on at the moment, they'll go into this game with the view let's not get beaten here and let's build and perhaps a draw. So I don't know. I can't see this game being full of sort of goal mouth action and goals. I think it'll be a tight affair, you know, 0-0, 1-1. I would go for there.
Okay, 0-0 is 12-1. 1-1 is 11-2. And of course, if you're not sure about the old goal angle there, you could go with the draw on both teams to score. That's 100-30. Then you've got 1-1, 2-2, 3-3 if it does get out of hand, as it has done in this fixture in the past. Let's move on to the big game on Sunday. What a game to look forward to at 4 o'clock. Tottenham take on Manchester United. 4:30 rather, sorry. Tottenham take on Manchester United. Tottenham 11-10. The draw is 5-2. And Manchester United are 5-2. Tottenham third in the Premier League, 6 points off Liverpool and two off City at the time of recording this. Still challenging on four fronts as well after winning their semi-final first leg against Chelsea midweek. United are sixth in the Premier League, 6 points off the Champions League places, courtesy of four Premier League wins since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over. It's 5 wins in all competitions since he became interim boss at Old Trafford. In recent years, Derek, the tide has certainly turned in this fixture. Spurs looking to win three consecutive top-flight meetings with United for the first time since 1960. And United have lost their last three away games at Tottenham. Before that, they'd lost only 23 away games against Spurs. So it shows how the tide has turned recently. Tottenham are now a better side than Man United.
Well, unquestionably. All right, well, Solskjaer has come in and revitalised United, but it wouldn't have... I mean, you or I could have done that, you know, given how they were playing under Mourinho. So I wouldn't get worked up about their revival in form. And they played nobody, of course, happy since he took over. Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Newcastle and Reading. I mean, come on. This is a different kettle of fish entirely. And Tottenham are 11-10. I love it. Absolutely love it. I think they're absolute certainties. You know, they're not just a better side than United. They're a miles better side than United. They showed that at Old Trafford earlier in the season when he won 3-0 without breaking sweat. I don't understand the prices here. I think your odds compiler has just been swayed too much by this supposed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer factor. As I say, they've played nobody. And you look at the games they've won away. I mean, they've played 11 games in the Premier League this season away from home on United. They've failed to win more than they've won. And of those they've won, you look at some of the teams they've beaten, Newcastle, Cardiff, mugs like that. I mean, this is a totally different kettle of fish. Tottenham won't slip up here.
Apologies to any Newcastle and Cardiff fans out there then. I agree with you. I think 11-10 for Spurs is absolutely huge. No team has really dominated Manchester United since the Premier League began. I think of battles with Arsenal, Chelsea and City more recently. Spurs could become the first team since Everton back in 1987 to win four consecutive home top flight matches against Manchester United. That just shows how much of a number Pochettino's men have over United at the moment. Are you in the same camp, Sammy? Do you lean towards the home side?
Absolutely, yeah. Hence why I think that stat there, hence why I think United are taking admiring glances at Tottenham's manager, aren't they, ahead of the summer? I can't see. Listen, I think this is where reality hits home for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. This is his first real test, and what we know about Premier League football is that there's no magic wand. You can't just flick a switch and permanently change the fortunes. You know, it takes time. Okay, he's had the bounce, but as Derek says, they haven't really played anyone of note. So this is his real test. And Tottenham are a fantastic team, and they always up their game. Obviously, recently against Manchester United again. I can't see past the Tottenham win. They're so well drilled. They know exactly what their manager asks of them. And in terms of United, yes, they have had that bounce, but those susceptibilities that they've had earlier in the season, you know, under Mourinho, are still there. They're still going to be prevalent. And I think Tottenham will pick Man United off fairly comfortably at the weekend.
11-10 does look a pretty tempting price, doesn't it, about Tottenham. If you fancy them and you think Harry Kane can get on the score sheet as well, something he does pretty often, for Kane to score and Spurs to win, that was 2-1, that's now 5-2. Just want to mention Paul Pogba on the flip side of it, Sammy. Obviously had a lot of trouble with Mourinho. Since Mourinho left, his form has certainly picked up, mainly because he's back in the team, I suppose. For him to score on Man United to win, it was 5-1, it's now 6-1, so we've enhanced the odds on that. Is Paul Pogba now going to start coming into his own under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? And can he be the catalyst for United?
We'll find out. I think we'll find out this weekend. It's all well and good saying his performances have improved in recent weeks, and they have improved. And you know, that fair play to him. But as we've already mentioned, the calibre of opponent hasn't been quite up there. We'll find out this weekend when he's up against a Dele Alli. And Moussa Sissoko, who played in midfield the other day, we'll find out how far he's come since Mourinho's departure. I still think Tottenham will put Pogba into the shadows at the weekend, and there's no other winner in my eyes. I think Tottenham will run out fairly comfortable winners.
Do you agree with that, Derek? What are your thoughts on Pogba? Is he?
Well, we're going to see the real Pogba, because the real Pogba is a hell of a player, and he just wasn't trying under Mourinho. Maybe he wasn't trying. He was played in the wrong position. He wasn't getting any, you know, his rapport with the manager had broken down. And I suppose if you're a player, you're only human. You're not going to pull your stripe out for a manager who you can't stand, I suppose. People will say, well, he's getting paid God knows how much a week. You should do it for the fans. Easy to say that. It's just human nature. He's a terrific player. This is a big test, as Sammy says, for him. You know, he's not playing against, pretty much championship players now. He's playing against the cream of the cream against Tottenham. So I'll be interested to see. But I think he will still stand out. I don't think United will win. I think Tottenham will win easily. But that doesn't mean to say he won't have a hell of a game, because he's a hell of a player.
How easily do you think Tottenham will win, out of interest?
Well, I'm not talking about a Man City bait and cakewalk, but you know, I can see them winning 2-0 without breaking sweat.
Okay, 2-0. Let's just see if I can get the handicap. 13-5, by the way, Spurs minus a goal. if you want a bigger price. I mean, 11-10 looks generous enough, but yeah. Could I tempt you with that?
Yeah, you could. 11-10 is generous for Spurs, no doubt about it. But yeah, you know, I can see that happening, the 13-5, yeah.
Let's move on to Monday night football then. Manchester City against Wolverhampton Wanderers to finish off. City 1-6 to win the game. The draw 13-2. Wolves are 16-1. Man City, of course, second in the Premier League. They've closed the gap at the top. They come here on the back of a good week, a 2-1 victory over Liverpool to close that gap, and also a 9-0 win over Burton in midweek. Wolves recently a 2-1 victory over Liverpool for themselves in the FA Cup. They beat Spurs 3-1 at Wembley not too long ago as well. But between those two results, a result that sums up Wolves' season, they were beaten 2-0 at home against Crystal Palace. And we've mentioned this on the punt several times already this season, Derek. They seem very good against the big six, but they can't do it against the lesser teams. What do you make of Wolves here?
I don't understand why that is the case. I can't explain it. I don't, you know, bigger brains than mine, i.e. everybody, can't explain it either. I sat up and took notice of Wolves in the reverse fixture earlier in the season. They drew 1-1, very early in the season actually, and I thought they were absolutely brilliant that day. And I made a good few bob backing them in the weeks following because they were much better than I give them credit for. But then they throw in howlers against teams that they should be wiping the floor with, and you do all the dough that you've made in the previous few weeks. I just can't read them. But I suppose if you look at the bare form and you see what they do against the big teams, you've got to give them a squeak here. Maybe not a winning because City just seems as though they've turned up an extra notch. But I've got a feeling they'll run it close. I mean, okay, City put, 9 past Burnley, put a million past Rotherham as well. The 9 in midweek, that was a goal for every fan that turned up at the Etihad, I think.
Yeah, it was empty, wasn't it?
I know. It's not over yet, though. Getting an early goal, Burton, in the second leg. You never know what might happen. I like Wolves. I just think they're better. I'm not getting... Ignore that game against Liverpool on Monday. That was a non-event. Liverpool wanted to go out of the competition at the earliest opportunity, no matter what Jürgen Klopp protests. I'm going to go Wolves to keep it close here on the handicap. And they're not a team that, you know, you're going to... They'll throw in howlers against the Bournemouths and the Brightons and so on. But against these big teams, there's some big players in that Wolves lineup, you know. I'm going to go Wolves plus 2 goals at 11-8. I remember the reverse fixture, and City just seems to be bewildered by them. I like Wolves, 11-8 with 2 goals start.
Well, remarkably, I'm on exactly the same wavelength as you, Derek. I don't know if I should be worried about that, but I've just done some TV previews here at William Hill, and I tipped Wolves plus 2, saying odds against, they could still lose by a goal, and I don't think City will run away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 16-1, by the way, is absolutely huge for Wolves. They shouldn't be that price. Yes, Man City should be favourites, but Wolves shouldn't be 16-1. What do you make of it, Sammy? Are you in a similar camp, or are you thinking City now are going to start really kicking on?
It's a tough one, this. I think City will win, but I think they'll be given a tough time. I was having a conversation the other day with a Wolves supporter friend of mine, and his theory is about playing well against the top six is that when they play the so-called lesser teams, they don't go out and attack against them, and because the onus is on the so-called bigger clubs to go out and beat Wolves, they obviously find more space, have more gaps for their players, you know, Moutinho and Neves to sort of cause carnage and to cause damage. So I can see a similar kind of theme against City on Monday night. I think City will obviously the onus will be on City to go and build on that win over Liverpool and get another comfortable victory. But I can't see it going that way. I think, you know, the Wolves have got some really good players. Raul up top looks an excellent prospect. You know, he's strong, he's big, he knows where the goal is. His finish against Liverpool the other day, well, I thought was excellent. And with you know, players like Adama Traore on the bench, or he may even start, they've got the pace to hit Man City on the break. As I say, I think City will run out winners, but I don't think it will be as comfortable as many may think.
Similar kind of ideas then, that Man City won't run away with it. And I've got a great stat for you here ahead of this game as well. There is only one English side that Pep Guardiola has never beaten when facing them more than once, and that is Wolverhampton Wanderers. He's met them twice, drawn both games, never beaten Wolves as a manager. That's the only English side that you can say that about. Also, keeping with the stats, Sergio Aguero needs a mention here as well. He's had a hand in 12 home goals this season, scored 8 and assisted 4. That's more than any other player in the Premier League. He's odds on to score any time in the game, but we do have enhanced odds for Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. So again, it sticks with the idea that City won't run away with it. It was 9-2. It is now 11-2.
It's one of the most eagerly anticipated fixtures in Portuguese football as Sporting and Porto go head-to-head for the first time this season on Saturday. And Porto could be a bit of a gift here at 13-10. They look to be cantering towards the league title at a real rate of knots. Having only dropped points twice all season, they're now on an 18-game winning streak in all competitions that goes back to October, and I expect them to carry that on here. Sporting will obviously be well up for this, but recent defeats at the hands of Tondela and Vitória don't bode well for them trying to get something off the runaway leaders. This fixture has traditionally been a cagey affair, with 4 of the last 5 games between the two featuring a goal or less. Under 1.5 here is 12-5, but I'm confident of a Porto win, so I'll go for Porto to win the game and under 2.5 goals at 4-1 as the nap this week, and take Porto to make it 19 wins in a row in all competitions and take another step toward retaining their title.
Let's talk best bets, shall we? We'll let you go first here, Sammy. What's your favourite bet for the whole weekend in the Premier League?
I fancy Southampton at Leicester, you know. Getting a victory there. Leicester have obviously had those two excellent results against Chelsea and Manchester City. But I think against the clubs they're expected to get results against, you know, they tend to struggle, and I think that's why Cloud Peel's in a spot of bother there. Under Ralph Hasenhüttl. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Hasenhüttl.
Is that right? Under the new manager, I think they Southampton look like they've improved. They've, you know, Nathan Redmond sort of finally sort of sparked into a bit of life and scoring goals. I fancy Southampton to nick a result at the King Power Stadium this weekend. I certainly do.
They're a nice price as well, 16-5 for the Saints to get the better of Leicester this weekend. Best bet for yourself, Derek?
I was just looking at the 3 o'clock fixtures. Everybody clamours to have, you know, a proper programme of matches at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Well, if you look at this lot of fixtures, you think, no, this is just space it out a bit. Jesus, Burnley, Fulham, Cardiff, Huddersfield, Palace, Watford, Leicester, Southampton, Brighton, Liverpool. Match of the day you want to avoid if you've watched it too loud. I'm going to stick with Tottenham on Sunday against Man United. I think 11-10 is a nice price.
Ah, you beat me to the punch there, Derek. I was going to
thank go with because I haven't got another one after that.
I was fingers crossed hoping that neither of you would go for Tottenham. I'll go for a Eden Hazard to score any time and a Chelsea win as mine up. I think they'll get the better of Newcastle. They're just poor away from home. Well, they are better away from home than they are at home, but they're just a poor side at the moment, Newcastle. And I think Chelsea will use that as a springboard to get back to winning ways. So I'll side with them. Can't side with the 2-9. So I'll stick Hazard in there and go with Chelsea and Hazard to score any time. Thank you very much, fellas. It's been an absolute pleasure as always. Very best of luck and enjoy the Premier League football this weekend.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, chat.
Plenty of games in the Football League, full programmes in the Championship, League One and League Two. Let's get best bets in those three divisions. We've got Pete Farries looking at the Championship, Gav Puszulowski takes care of League One, and Al Ross will give us his best bet in League Two.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and in the Championship this week there is loads of good games, Ipswich Rotherham should be a big, big match. But the interesting one to me is West Brom Norwich. Now, Norwich, it could be argued, at 9-4 are quite a big price here, but I'm going to look deeper into the markets for my nap. And my nap of the week on this podcast is 76 minutes of full time match goal, yes, at 17-20. There have been 9 goals in that time period in Norwich's last 5 league games. It keeps happening again and again and again. And for me, in a game where there should be plenty of goals, at 17-20, this looks like a fantastic bit of value. So yes, there's loads of great 90-minute markets. You could look at this game at the likes of Timu Pukki at Dwight Gayle, scoring goals, and I'm sure good any time and first and last prices. But for me, match goals, 76 minutes of full time, yes, at 17-20 is the way to go at the Hawthorns. Very best of luck with whatever you're backing. Let's head over to Gav Puszulowski and get his thoughts on League One.
My nap this weekend is all about a side who generally win-lose, 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 and last time out, they lost. So it seems fairly obvious that Southend United are the way forward at home to Plymouth. At 21-20 at Rootsall at home, I'll take them. And when Southend generally win at home, It's generally by a handicap margin landing as well. 3-0 victors against Accrington Stanley, 2-0 victors against Gillingham, lost at home to Barnsley, Rochdale, that's a poor performance, and Portsmouth. But as I said, every single time Southend lose, they tend to bounce back with a victory. And Plymouth Argyle, away from home, have lost 3 in 5 games, and when they lose, 5-1, 2-1, 2-0. So there could be a couple of goals in this one for Southend. Maybe taking minus one, maybe take just over 2.5 goals, possibly both teams to score. But either way, Southend are my nap at 21-20 to win at home to Plymouth. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
If I go a couple of weeks without hitting a winner, I'll normally take a short price, easy hit to get things rolling again, but not this week because Macclesfield are such a big price. On the face of it, a price of 21-20 on a Grimsby side with 4 league wins in the last 5 at home in a clash of 14th against 23rd looks reasonable, but there are two big factors at play here. One is that Macclesfield are in the middle of the sort of new manager bounce I would never have expected from Sol Campbell. 2 wins in the last 4 away, their only 2 away league wins this season. And small squads do struggle when fixtures get congested. They've had some tricky ones, it's seen a bit of a dip, but they have now had a full week off, and it is still 4 wins in the 9 league games that Campbell's been in charge. That should be respected with a much shorter price. The main reason, though, is Grimsby. They've been great the last month or two, but they have played with 10 men for 88 minutes of their FA Cup defeat to Crystal Palace last weekend, only to be denied with 5 minutes to go in a 1-0 defeat. Physically and emotionally, I don't see how you get up from that quickly, and Macclesfield are 27-10.
Well, thank you very much then to those three guys, Pete, Gav and Al, giving us their rundown of best bets in the Football League. Thank you as well to Derek McGovern and Sammy Mockbell, who joined us to look ahead to the Premier League action, and to Sam Norris, giving us his best bet in Europe. Very best of luck with your bets. Check out those enhanced odds and other goodies on the William Hill website also. And thanks for joining us. Enjoy the football this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.